Now, we've been talking about your favourite chocolate bar. If you want to join in that conversation, you can. WhatsApp is on +34 645 99 67 95. And I'll tell you what your favourite chocolate bar tells you about you. And I think Wendy, well, I know Wendy chose this next book for me because she knows I'm a Cadbury's chocolate fan. So we're going to go live to the UK, speak to Diane Wordsworth on the book, A History of Cadbury. Good afternoon, Diane. How are you?
Hello, Dave. I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, great to have you on. Yeah, I love Cadbury's chocolate, so I'm in my element right now.
Good.
And what's your favourite chocolate? Do you have, is it Cadbury's or anybody else?
My favourite chocolate is chocolate.
Just any chocolate?
Chocolate, yeah. I don't like dark chocolate, but normal chocolate or white chocolate.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I like, we know it's more healthy, don't we, to have dark chocolate, but I do actually prefer milk chocolate by a long stretch.
Yes.
Now, the book is fantastic because it actually, you know, because the colour of the book is the same colour as the Cadbury's purple that we have. And here in Spain, of course, anything that colour on your front seat is going to melt. So I kept moving the book out of the sun because I thought it was going to melt.
I don't think it'll melt. No, I think they did design it to make it look like a bar of dairy milk, which is, of course, your favourite chocolate.
It is, yeah. I love dairy milk chocolate, yeah. I think I'm a purist. I just like it plain. Dairy milk chocolate, that's it. I don't need anything else. But anyway, this is a great book, and being a Midlander myself as well, I know how much Cadbury's has affected the West Midlands and the community of Birmingham and all around there. Obviously, the first thing to say is, where did the idea come from? Is there any other books on Cadbury like this?
The idea came to me was because I am a Brummie myself, yeah. Actually. I was born and bred in Solihull. I'm actually a Blue Nose as well, so I'm rooting for Derby today.
Oh, come on. Thank you very much.
My husband is a Leeds fan, so there you go. You've got two extra fans today.
He must be the only Leeds fan that's supporting Derby. That's really good. Yeah, well done. Yeah.
I think he's just rooting for you because you're talking to me, probably.
Oh, that's great, yeah. And we don't want Villa to go up, do you? That's for sure.
No, absolutely not. Not in this house, anyway. So, anyway, I was born and bred in Solihull, and I worked for Birmingham City Council for quite a while, and that was when I first became aware that Cadbury's were actually in Birmingham. I didn't know until I was in my 20s. And about twice a year, someone used to go from Birmingham Council to go and get boxes and boxes of cheap chocolate. So that was my first knowledge that Cadbury was so close.
Yeah.
But coming to the future, I'm now up in Yorkshire and I'm editing and proofreading for a Yorkshire publishing company.
Whereabouts in Yorkshire are you?
I'm in Doncaster now.
Oh, very good.
So we're in South Yorkshire. And I edit for this company up here, and I was editing a book on Birmingham in the Second World War.
Yeah.
And one of the chapters was on Cadbury's, and I thought, as I was reading it, I thought, wow, I didn't realise they did so much for the war effort, because they were Quakers and therefore pacifists. And I thought, this is really, really interesting. And when I looked into it, I realised that, in 1824, so in nearly 200 years, that was when the first shop was opened in Bull Street. So I just fired off a very quick email to the publisher to say, look, I'm editing Julie's book. It was Julie Phillips' book I was editing. So I'm editing Julie's book. Is she doing a sequel on Cadbury? And they says no. And I said, is anybody doing anything on Cadbury because they've got this anniversary coming up? And they says no. And I said, well, can I pitch for it? And they said, well, yes, we think that'd be a very good idea. And so I pitched for it and I wrote it and we delivered it early and it was published early and it's gone off galloping. And I think it's doing better than we thought it would.
Wow, and because we're not far off is it 200-year anniversary coming up soon?
The Cadbury's as a factory for making chocolate, they started in 1831.
Yeah.
But John Cadbury, who is George and Richard's father, he opened his shop in Bull Street in 1824, next door to his father's shop, which was a draper shop. And he was the one who started off. I mean, cocoa and drinking chocolate had been in the country for a long time, but it was still quite bitter and it still needed things doing to it to make it palatable. And John Cadbury started to grind it and offer cocoa or drinking chocolate as an alternative to coffee, tea or beer, because Quakers obviously don't like drinking alcohol either.
Yeah.
And so the shop opened in 1824, and that's the 200-year anniversary that will be coming up in 5 years' time. But when they moved from Bull Street to Crooked Lane, just around the corner, that was in 1831, and that's when, I believe, they started to be actual manufacturers of chocolate. And that is when the official anniversary is taken from, 1831, when they moved to Crooked Lane and they started manufacturing. So that anniversary will be coming up 6 years after
Yeah, so I think I saw a photo in the book of 1931, I think it was, when they were doing the 100 years of Cadbury. So,
yes, that's right. That was the centenary celebration, and they had a book published as well at the same time, which was a history of the firm of Cadbury, which I used quite a lot for my research. That was my basis for my research, was that book that was published in 1931.
I mean, do we know much about John himself? He's a Quaker, and obviously he's wanting to supply hot chocolate and tea, of course, which, as you say, was kind of like an alternative to alcohol. But mm-hmm. Do we know much about him? We know he's a Quaker, but what else do we know about him?
We know that he used to enjoy music. He learnt to play musical instruments, but it was frowned on by the Quakers, and so he had to curb his enthusiasm for music. But he did have a little music box, apparently, that he still played well into his dotage. He was playing in his elderly years. He still had this little musical box that he liked to listen to. We also know that he did take his Quakerism very seriously, and he didn't sit in an easy chair, an armchair, until he was in his 70s or 80s. Up until that point, he always sat in rigid wooden chairs or benches. I think we do know quite a lot about him, but because he was before the Cadbury Brothers manufacturing business, we only touched on him very slightly. He did inherit some money. His father gave him some money and told him, this is your money, you can sink or you can swim.
Yeah.
And he chose to swim, and that's when he opened his shop next door to his father. Then he went into business with one of his brothers. And then towards the end of the 1870s, I think it was, his second wife died, and he must have gone into some kind of depression because he got some serious ill health. And the business was allowed to flounder, and it started to go downhill. And they moved into a factory in Bridge Street in 1840-something, late 1840s. Yeah. And they had 200 female workers working for them at the time. But by the time they had to close that factory, which was in 1879, they were down to about a dozen.
And at this point, what are they making? Are they making chocolate bars, as we would know them now?
They're not making chocolate bars yet, I don't think. I can't remember the actual date. I mean, Cadbury's Dairy Milk was the first. Yeah. Dairy milk chocolate. They had already started making dark chocolate because when they did something to the chocolate, it was quite wet and sloppy, and they had to find out a way of getting all that cocoa butter out of the chocolate in order to make it set so it could become eating chocolate.
Yeah.
And I think it was George Cadbury who went to Holland and learned all about this machinery that someone had invented over there that pressed all of this cocoa butter out, that left you with the ability to make this firm, solid chocolate, and that became the eating chocolate. I think it was the early 1900s that Cadbury's Dairy Milk first, it might not have been Dairy Milk Bar, it might have been the milk tray. They used to have a tray of individual chocolates, and the individual chocolates had different fillings in them, and that's where milk tray came from. And then I think they had the Bourneville dark chocolate. I might be wrong, I don't know. I'm just saying this off the top of my head. And then they went to the Cadbury's Dairy Milk, and it was the Cadbury's Dairy Milk that pretty much, set the company on fire.
I think we've got a call online. Are you okay to take a call?
I am, yes.
Yeah, okay. Let's see how we go. Good afternoon, live on TRL.
Hello. Hello. This is Jessie. I have a tin of chocolate with chocolate fingers in it, and it's 1889 on the tin.
1889, Cadbury's fingers. Wow,
it's a tin I use for my sewing books.
Oh, you've still not got the fingers in there, then.
There's no fingers in now. Just thought I would tell you, it's 1889.
Fantastic. Take it to the Antiques Roadshow.
Hey, I like my Toblerone,
myself. Oh, Toblerone, right.
Bye.
All right, thank you very much.
Pardon me?
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. My mum always used to have a Quality Street or Cadbury's Roses tin with sewing equipment in it. So it was always, I'll have some chocolate. No, there's needles and cotton in it. But so that's eight. Cadbury's fingers have been out a long time then.
Well, fingers were like biscuit, weren't they?
Yeah.
So they're a coated biscuit chocolate fingers. I was going to say, God, they must have gone mouldy if they're
still
in that tin.
Well, and again, I'm making me feel hungry, this is. But as we go on, And one of the things the book looks at is the impact on the society, and obviously you being a Brummie yourself, and I lived in Coventry for quite a long time, so I knew the kind of the impact of Cadbury's on the West Midlands. What sort of impact did it have, not just for workers, but for those living in the area?
Well, that was when they moved to Bourneville, I think, and when they built what they called the City in a Garden. What they did was the Bourneville Village Trust, that George Cadbury again, he built this model village, and what he wanted was every worker to have a house with a garden. But he didn't want it to be confined to just the Cadbury workers. Mm. He didn't want the people living there to be so tied to the factory. So they allowed a percentage of the houses to be rented by other people who didn't work at the factory. So they benefited from the better housing. But what they also did at Bourneville was they put playing fields down, they put recreation grounds down, they built swimming pools. They had an indoor swimming pool, an outdoor swimming pool. They taught their own workers how to swim. And if they're, or if their workers could already swim, that was great. And it became a requirement that every worker had to swim, had to be able to swim. Then when they learnt to swim, they went out into the community and they taught other people how to swim. And they did lots of things like that, where they encouraged their own workers to go out and spread what they'd learned with other people who didn't necessarily work at Bourneville.
I wish there was a bit more of that around today, big corporations.
Pioneers of workers' welfare and workers' rights and community welfare as well. Yeah, we could learn a lot today from what they did then, and I feel very strongly about that. And this is all stuff that I learned while I was doing the research for the book.
Now, there's so much in there, but unfortunately, because of time purposes, we can't go into all the details, so people have got to buy the book. And there's a whole load now that we're going to get out and move up right up to date, really, with the fact that Cadbury's... when did it stop being part of the Cadbury family, and when did it kind of become this bigger business and diversifying the way it did?
I can't remember the actual date, so it has
That's
been
fine.
Recent. I don't know that I'm not sure if there's anybody still from the family serving on the board. It's been 10, 20 years at least.
Yeah.
I mean, even when it was sold to Kraft, they did retain family members on the board, and there were still family members involved with the company.
Yeah.
But I don't think they had much say in what went on. It was a very hostile takeover that Kraft made a bid for when they did it. I think there would have been a bit of taste in their mouth, to be honest. And I think George and Richard would be rolling in their graves if they knew what had happened. James, you mentioned James Cadbury earlier.
Mm.
He's hoping... I read an article last year where he said he was hoping to bring his own company back to Birmingham, to Digbeth or the Jewellery Quarter, and bring chocolate back home and produce it the way that his ancestors wanted to produce it, with the same work ethics. And I really hope that he manages to do that, because I think they've made a mess of it.
Yeah, I was gutted when Kraft bought them, and I don't quite understand all this hostile takeovers and so on. I always used to think, if you own a company and you don't want to sell it, then that was the last of the matter, but I don't quite understand how that all works. But when it was sold to this American company, I thought, it's going to steal the soul from the company. You know, they promised not to close factories down and so on. Where are Cadbury now? Where are they, and what is it in relation to Birmingham? Is there still anything left of Cadbury in Birmingham today?
The Bourneville factory is still there,
and
they are still producing Cadbury chocolates, and it does smell absolutely gorgeous.
Brilliant.
Whenever you get the chance to go, you walk down between the buildings, you can smell it.
Well, I used to work in Burton-on-Trent and drive past the Marmite factory. I much prefer to go to Cadbury.
No, that's not quite the same, is it, Marmite?
I much prefer to work in Bourneville than Burton.
But they're still making quite a lot of chocolate, and they've bought out people like Green and Blacks as well, so they're making Green and Blacks chocolate. I don't know where in the UK or Europe or wherever they're making it, but that is part of the Cadbury stroke Mondelez umbrella now.
Mm.
The people say that the recipe has changed and the chocolate doesn't taste the same as how it used to. And they say in particular cream eggs, for example, are just not the same.
No.
And, of course, chocolate bars are getting smaller. When I went there, a lot of the people who work there have been there for a very long time. And there are people still there who worked for them when it was a Cadbury business, but don't believe it was owned by the family for long after they floated the shares. Richard Cadbury died in 1899, and only a few weeks before that, him and George, his brother, had signed this agreement, or come to an agreement, that if one of them died, the other one wouldn't carry on their own. They'd float it on the market. And after his brother died, that's what George did. And I think gradually people bought more and more shares, and other companies came in and bought chunks of shares, until eventually there's nothing left of the original family. And as far as I know, I don't believe anybody... I mean, I still had... You can still contact members of the family. Like, one of them wrote the foreword for the book, for example. And I'm speaking to Richard Cadbury's great-granddaughter for a sequel for The Life of Richard Cadbury, but they're not actually involved in the business. They're still there, but they're not involved in the business.
But James Cadbury might be the one that brings it back. You never know.
He might bring it back to Birmingham, you never know.
But he'll probably have problems using the Cadbury name, that's for sure. But anyway, that's an interesting... Yeah, it's a fantastic book, and some above all the information that you get, some fantastic photos in here as well. You must have researched so much, Diane, to get this book together.
I did quite a lot of research for the words, but the photo archive, there is a photo archive at the Cadbury, at Bourneville, in the archive section. And they've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photographs. And the Bourneville Village Trust have also got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photographs. But they've had them that long that they've lost track of who took them or, you know, or who owns them or anything like that. And they did give me, well, I think about 80-something. 80-odd of those pictures, or 60-odd, were from the Cadbury Archive. And the rest, my husband took some, and I got some from an agency.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've got loads and loads, hundreds of photographs, and, you know, if anybody wants to go and have a look at them, as far as I'm aware, they can contact the archive department and they can have an appointment and they can have a look at the on the computer and just surf through all the photographs there.
Can you have tours of Bourneville still? Is it possible to have a tour?
No. When I worked at Birmingham City Council, which was in the 80s, you could still go and have a public tour, but it wasn't long after that a health and safety brigade came along and decided that you shouldn't really be making eating chocolate with people tramping through the factory.
Oh, yes, right.
So they did close down the tours for some time, but then they opened Cadbury World, and you can still go to Cadbury World now. It's quite expensive, but you can have a family day at Cadbury World, and you can have a look at the processes and the manufacture of chocolate, and you can buy chocolates, and you can meet some of the people, as far as I know.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And the book's called The History of Cadbury. It's by Diane Wordsworth, and it's available if you go on our website. You can get yourself a copy of the book there as well. So, yeah, make sure you avail yourself of that. It's a fantastic book. Thank you, Diane. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks. Bye-bye.
And by the way, Villa have scored. So,
oh, no.
Just come in now. So never mind.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Diane. Take care.